PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello and welcome back to a brand new year of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week for the very first Off Course installment of 2022 is my main man, Josh Babbitt. JB, what's happening, buddy?
Not too much. I'm honored to be the first guest of the year.
I thought it was appropriate. I mean, we're knee deep in release cycle right now. You have a pretty solid pulse on what's going on out there. It seemed appropriate to get you on here to talk a little bit about the world of golf right now. A couple things have occurred over the last few weeks. Off Course took a little bit of a break to enjoy some family time. And by that, I mean, continue to get sick. Thanks, my young son, Cal, for that. What's happening in your world right now? You got to be a little busy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, this week, obviously, people are listening to this on Friday. We're recording it earlier in the week, but this week is pretty chaotic with TaylorMade and Callaway releasing, Zexio releasing. It's pretty crazy with these full lines coming out. But I can honestly say this is year 14 of me doing this, and I still get as excited for release season now as I did back in 2008 when we started this, whether it's a package coming to the door to try the new stuff in the studio, whether it's just getting the information, whatever it is, I'm still just as excited. And there's some good stuff coming this year.
Yeah, you can sense the excitement if you're on social at all out there reading about golf companies, or you have some of the folks who sort of head the discussion for those companies on social. You can definitely get a sense of excitement. We saw our good friend Noel talking about they have something like 8 products coming out over the next month, I believe, which is pretty exciting. Now, obviously, they represent a number of different companies between Srixon Cleveland and Zexio. I believe the big one right now is Zexio, isn't it?
Yes, and that came out a couple of days ago. Again, Dan hasn't seen that stuff because of when we're recording this, but yeah, that came out a couple of days ago. That lineup is stellar from top to bottom with 2 different lines making up that. And then, of course, you had Callaway and TaylorMade both release earlier in the week on the day we're recording this, with TaylorMade going with getting rid of Metal Forever, Callaway bringing out the new Rogue line. One thing I have to point out, and I'm not going to talk performance, I'm not going to bore people with that on any of this stuff, but does anybody else find it really weird that TaylorMade has a driver called the Stealth with the flashiest, most seen driver face ever?
I would imagine the answer is yes to that. I was stuck on something a little bit different. The fact that Stealth by design on the driver, everything's capitalized except for the E, and I'm like really rattled by that, Josh. And it's funny because, as you mentioned, the most visible thing for normal people is the head, and it's worth talking about. We've had some really good conversation already this morning. Again, there'll be a couple days between this releasing and the folks who've been involved in the forum talking about the product. This seems to be a pretty aggressive move for TaylorMade, not just from a conceptual standpoint. Obviously, they're making big claims saying they're never moving back to a steel face, I think you had mentioned. But the other thing is that they're pushing price point as well. Remarkably, they seem to be the company out there pushing the price point forward. Outside of maybe Ping, we've seen some pretty interesting numbers from a couple of their iron releases recently. I get a couple sort of thoughts that drive me back to the original SLDR release. They had a product that was unique and different in its own way, and it took a number of months, including a re-release of sorts called Loft Up, to educate the public on what exactly it is they had at the time. Do you think TaylorMade is going to experience something similar with Stealth?
Not to that extent. You know, multiple options here will range a various amount of golfers. I did, when I got to test it, I found it a little low spin for my liking. And I mean, low compared to what else is out there, which of course can increase distance. The biggest thing about a driver like that, without heading too far down the rabbit hole, people can read about that on the website, is they took a tech that's, it's not new. I mean, graphite faces and carbon fiber faces and composite material faces have been done before. 20 years ago, 15 years ago, Callaway had the one that was out. And we've seen it with other brands as well. This is something that they say they've been working on for a while, despite people who have been there no longer there and at other companies, and perfected it. In general, the biggest concern long-term will be something called creep, which means that the driver gets faster as you use it and eventually will become non-conforming, which in theory happens in composite materials faster than it does in metal. And that is a concern, but not a concern, you know, when you're dissecting it, but not a concern necessarily for the lay golfer, because that person's not exactly getting their driver tested every week. So it'll be curious to see if TaylorMade slowed it down to start with, knowing that this is going to happen, or if they're running with it as this is how it's going to end up. I tested it. I thought it sounds great, by the way. For those wondering, it sounds great. But I tested it. I liked what I saw. It wasn't the driver for me. That's still something that hasn't been released yet so far. But it's a solid performer, and I think there's going to be some golfers that like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of thought there. Obviously, that TaylorMade has gone from a face that actually had injected material into it to go to the absolute maximum point of legal, which was a pretty big story for them. Now they're transitioning to a product that could potentially increase, as you mentioned, over time. I had a really interesting conversation with a friend who's big into baseball, talking about these composite variants of baseball bats. Now, I don't know much at all about baseball, but he had mentioned there are guys out there playing softball with bats, and they buy a bat, then they use this rolling device to basically crack and modify the performance aspect, or I guess eliminate the break-in time of the bat, and it's supposed to make it way hotter, way more impressive. There's obviously a lot that goes into it, because these guys are paying many hundreds of dollars just to effectively break something or crack it. Now, a golf ball is obviously a smaller item or a smaller element that's probably moving quite a bit faster. You have to think that there's going to be a break-in period for these driver heads, unless they've created a remarkable concept of material. I know the new driver has 60 layers of graphite on the face itself. I don't know what depth you have to go to create a head that has no movement, I guess you could say, over time. But then it also adds the question, Josh, because you saw the USGA effectively overreact to the length of a driver that can be used, sort of getting out ahead of it, as it were. You're now seeing this new technology, or this newly added technology, as you mentioned, it's been previously released, but this newly added concept that could potentially break that barrier once again, whether intentional or not, it's kind of a crazy thing. I mean, where do we go from here? What do you think about all that?
You know, that's, I'm not even sure there's a question there, but
yeah,
let me dissect. I think that what you're saying is true. You know, the biggest aspect of where are we going is how is it released and how is it accepted? One of the things that you're going to find more so with that driver than just about any other product that's been released recently is the person who goes to a fitting, let's say, and they test a driver and they like it, and then they get their club and it feels a little differently. Different. Easier for me to say. They're going to want that one that they demoed. And you're going to see that a few times. You're going to see that guy stroll into the big box store, hit a driver in the bay, the demo driver that's taped up or not taped up, and then get home and go back to the store and be like, wait, I want that one I tried. And we'll see how the retailer reacts. I also think there's going to be a strong push from TaylorMade for a direct to consumer with the different color options that they are bringing to the market, sort of. You can change the color anything you want at special order. We'll see what the timetable is on that. But based on how this is accepted is how I think we'll see the future rollouts from different companies. Not because, like you said, it's a brand new technology or new product, just because visually it makes a lot of sense. And we all know visual technology sells in golf.
Yeah, we're obviously seeing a massive bump in carbon. I mean, it's everywhere right now. Bottom of drivers, top of drivers, now in the face of drivers. There's no question about it. Carbon is a big player in what maximizes the potential of a driver. Do you think we see any bleed over from other companies in this carbon phase stuff?
Well, we've seen multiple companies go with carbon fiber in different areas. I think it started with Cobra Golf, generally speaking, to the masses, then Callaway. I think Tour Edge might have been next, and then TaylorMade came with their M1. I think you start to see more usage of that. You still have companies not even using it at all. You see that with Ping and with Titleist, or not using it much, I should say. So there's multiple ways to skin a cat. It comes down to what is accepted and how well the messaging comes off. I've always thought that the carbon fiber and composite material use around the crown and the sole and the sides and everything else makes so much sense from an aspect of weight positioning. But I've never thought it messaged as well as it could, because it's a hard message to tell a golfer as we repositioned this weight. Well, what does that do? You know, talking about center of gravity is not the most glorified way of selling a product. It's kind of like talking about aerodynamics or dimple design in a golf ball, because it's nothing somebody can see, feel, touch, and things like that. And it's hard to see. So I think that there's a little bit of it there. I think people who are fans of TaylorMade, you know, if you're fans of a brand, it's always been a little different to me, but I get it based on the people there and things like that. If you're fans of the brand, you're going to love what they're doing because they're pushing the envelope. If you're anti a brand, which again, I've never really understood, you might be against this kind of thing because it's new and it's change, and change is hard. If you're looking at it from an objective standpoint, I think it's something that everybody should try, because I think they should try everything. And you may or may not like what you find, because like I said, it sounds fantastic. I'm not thrilled with the looks. I think it looks like one of those old stoves with the coil burners. But I think it's a solid performer. I think it's going to get a lot of press.
Yeah, I'm curious about aftermarket, secondary market. You know, there was a time when you wouldn't want to buy a driver when it had been played X amount of years or whatever it may be. The people think that driver can only be hot for so long. It seems like with this, it sort of changes that perspective, at least when you look at other sports utilizing that kind of material, that the potential of a 500 hit stealth driver could actually be more efficient in the hands of a golfer than a brand new one off the rack, as you mentioned. And that's really interesting to me, and definitely from TaylorMade's perspective, because you go from the big selling feature of their previous line of what you hit at the demo is the same experience you're going to get from an efficiency standpoint is the one that is delivered to your door, where I think there's knowingly going to be a variant, and how they weather that storm, I'm super curious about, because it sounds like a good thing. As long as the durability is there, it sounds like a good thing. As long as we maintain that that legal standard that's put in place, right?
And that's the million-dollar question, is nobody really knows. It's a lot like a drug trial, so to speak, of you don't know the side effects or the after effects because it hasn't been released to the public in a while. I have people who have been using it for a couple of months that I've talked to. They haven't seen any craziness, but they're not getting it checked on a CT test, you know, to find out if it's legal or not. They don't swing fast enough for it to be relevant. So I think there's a little bit of there. And I'm going to preface this by saying, anybody interested in this or any other product, go get fit, because odds are you're going to hit this one lower than you think you are.
Interesting. Any truth to the rumor that USGA is going to start putting devices in every clubhouse, forcing people to measure their drivers before the round?
That would be fascinating. Let's slow down play even further.
Yeah. So you said you've got something that's coming in the bag. Does it rhyme with Cobra?
I'm not going to speak on it at all.
Well, let's talk about
it. Actually, my bag is right next to me right now, and I can tell you that the driver I used for the last round is the Callaway Rogue ST.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because THP has just had a massive battle with the Callaway guys over at the Hideaway in December. Super fun follow for anyone who was on the forum or social paying attention. Now, it didn't go quite the way I wanted it to. However, a lot of people had way too much fun. A lot of brand new products in the bag, which is cool. Surprisingly low number of mallets, which I liked. Any thoughts?
That new trisole is definitely going to turn heads. I mean, the MOI on a blade putter that matches or bests almost every mallet in golf is pretty crazy.
So tell me, what is the big product coming out of Callaway that you're most excited about for 2022, and why is it Chrome Soft?
Well, I would tell you that the most exciting thing they're doing for a tech nerd like me is with the golf ball.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fascinating story. With that said, there's two products that I think people definitely, everybody should try everything. And I say that over and over again. But two products stood out to me with every single time a person tried it, they had that wow factor look. And the first was the Rogue ST Fairway Wood, which every single person that tried it said it's the longest fairway wood they've ever tried. And the other one was the putter. That putter is unique and different, but still has traditional shaping and lines. I think it's really going to do well.
Do you think the driver they put out this year is one of the best sounding drivers they've put out in a while?
Yes.
I happen to
It's not close.
I happen to be lucky enough to play with someone using a what was redacted driver at the time here at my home course a couple weeks ago, and got to experience the sound, and I was really impressed. Now the results were good too, but you know, it's one of those things where you hear a good shot and you're like, man, you must have really hit that well. There's a lot of that happening, and you know the guy, his name's X-Thor Neil. He was hitting it pretty darn good.
He was in the Granddaddy and he hit it pretty darn good in California as well. It's one of those drivers that when you hit it, it's almost that perfect wedge shot sound. I don't know how to describe it. It's a really good sounding club. And I truly hope, and some companies do this well and other companies don't. And that one rhymes with ping. Companies should be paying attention to the sound. I know not all golfers care, but enough of them do to where you really need to at least put an effort in, because there's no reason to sacrifice it anymore.
Do you think a company will ever introduce a product that has alternative sounds based on the preference of people?
No.
It's kind of a wild concept, I know, but there are a lot of people who
they do that if you shift weight in clubs.
That's what I mean. I know simple, something like a little bit of hot melt would alter the sound quite a bit. A ping obviously has a unique sound. I mean, their name is Ping. You'd assume it's different. Titleist has a unique sound. You don't see a lot of companies identify variety. It more seems to be a continuation or a transition. You know what I mean? I'm curious about that, because sound is definitely a hindrance for a lot of golfers.
It comes down to what the golfer actually pays attention to. And the golfers that love ping either love that sound, which scares me a little bit, or they don't care about sound. And then there's golfers who are, I only love the sound that a composite crown or a composite driver makes, or the other way, which is I can't stand that quiet sound that a composite driver makes. Therefore, Titleist and Ping are it for me. It is crazy to think, and this is related to sound loosely, that we have two companies who haven't gone composite at all, and another company who's literally talking about eliminating metal.
It's kind of wild, but it's also representative of how many different ways you can introduce product or introduce potential for golfers. And I think it's an exciting thing. We've seen huge jumps. I would say Jailbreak was one of those first ones where you just sat back, you're like, oh my god, what? And then you start to see more and more. I love the curved carbon crown coming out of Cobra, and you have all these different concepts. It's just like I wouldn't have thought to even think about something like that. And these companies are just kind of doing it. I mean, AI.
Oh, yeah. Know,
I love it. Let's circle back a little bit about on Callaway, because this is effectively replacing Maverick, right? This their every other line. Mm-hmm. How much time did you spend with Maverick, and what's the big variance here between the two?
The variance to me would be completely different products. I would agree with you that it is replacing the Maverick line. I mean, you could make the case it's replacing the Rogue line, but that was going back a little ways. Mm-hmm. Completely different products. This is, to me, in a lot of ways, an evolution on the last Epic line than it is Maverick. It's really good. The one question I always have for anybody when it comes to driver is, what is your hot button? Is it visual technology? Is it something? What is your number one hot button that makes you want to change? Because obviously distance is king, but how you get to that distance? Are you looking for something super low spin? Are you looking for something more forgiving? You know, what's the button to get there? And I think Callaway with the four models has something that'll fit just about everybody. And releasing the Triple Diamond basically into the wild this year is a different element as well.
What do you mean by that?
Special order only previously and now readily available will give people the option to try them all out, because you're going to see a pretty drastic difference between the models when you hit them side by side.
It's always been kind of a mega beef with people that, you know, there are in line and then suddenly magically additional heads show up. I mean, sometimes it's based on interest. Sometimes it's based on companies finding out that a head is going to perform and people beg for it and they give it to them. Sometimes companies decide that a different color should be released. You know, there's a whole bunch of different reasons why new and alternate products show up later, but it's nice to see that with the success of Triple Black Triple Diamond in the past seems to have encouraged them to bring it forth early on, which is, I would say, a big deal.
In this show, we kind of give like the pull back the curtain a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read to you. I had a text message chat with somebody who works for one of the largest golf retailers. And he said, combing through social media, I'm reading to you what he wrote to me. Combing through social media, it still really surprises me to hear people say, wait 2 months when a Callaway or TaylorMade driver is released. I can't believe that's still even a narrative. It's like they live under a rock. And my response was, I know, neither has done that in years. And he said, I don't mean to demean the customer. That's not my take. But no one has done that in golf since 2017. That was the last time it happened. And then he said, oh, wait, actually, PXG does it every year. But then it said, what's crazier is Callaway, TaylorMade, and the other ones are really pretty much on a once a year, once every other year philosophy. And it stuck with it. So my reasoning behind that is the idea of it's changing. They bring out a new one. Your thing about the Triple Diamond kind of came to me with that, is that they bring out this Triple Diamond after the fact and they really wanted to do it. And I always thought maybe the Triple Diamond was wanted because it wasn't available, kind of like the TCBs this year. And yet it fits such a small niche. But I'm glad they made it available at the outset, because they listened to the golfer and the golfer said, that's what we want. And we'll see how it does. I can tell you without any qualms that the Max is going to be the number one seller. It was last time, and it has been in just about everybody's lineup.
I mean, that's the way of the world, right? You want the Tour, you want the Pro, you want whatever is being used. And by you, I mean the golfer, you know, fiending for new product on the internet. That seems to be how people flock, right? They want what they either can have or what the big boys are using on tour.
That's exactly right. And in this case, they can have that. It might be a different model, but they can have that. I don't mean different model. That one's available, but they might choose the Max. They might choose weight back. They might choose weight forward, whatever it is, but the model will exist. And I've been hearing from Johnny Wonder that the transition to Rogue is extremely fast, which says a lot.
Wow. On tour.
Callaway is one of the easiest for a tour player to continue to play the older clubs. They don't ask a lot from their players from that aspect, at least from what I've been told. And he says the transition is really fast.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Tour. It's something I really wanted to discuss today. The PIP stuff came out. Sounds like Phil won, made a pretty funny post about coming in second. And as it turns out, I believe Tiger was the number two on that list. What was your take on that sort of feedback and the results of last year's PIP?
The posting the results before the tour actually announces anything was pretty funny. I could see the tour coming out and saying he didn't win. We're going to give it to so-and-so because that's how it works. But he probably deserted. He's the best tour player on social media by a landslide. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Tiger finishing second. I would think that the tour would actually award somebody who actually does their own social media. That's just my take. But I don't know. I don't get that one. He gets a lot of engagement. Mm-hmm. If it's an engagement measured thing, then obviously that makes a lot of sense. I would have thought a Bryson would have been in that realm, considering not only is he talking about himself, every other person, outlet, or thing is talking about him too. He's the easiest to activate tour player in the history of golf, most likely.
Whether negatively or positively, that's for sure.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have guys like Brooks who play the I don't care what you're thinking while I truly, genuinely, absolutely 100% care and thrive on the way you're thinking sort of mentality. I thought the Tiger thing was pretty funny. I think maybe the money should go to Charlie because I saw the way people fawned over him and it was a combination of terrifying and questionable.
Yeah, that one was a little odd to me. I get it. Best player ever, and he's had his issues. All of a sudden coming out and being a dad and watching his son have the exact same mannerisms, club twirl and everything else, and being better than all of us at golf. But maybe not you, but the rest of us mere mortals. But it was for a person without children, that was seriously uncomfortable, some of the stuff that I was reading.
Yeah, I'm waiting. He probably has his own tracker at this point on Twitter. I don't really know. What's fascinating to me is, I mean, the kid is already living in an alternative world from most or any normal person. I had a little bit of a laugh with a couple of my dad's golf buddies when I let them know that his son has his prototype putter from one of his backup putters, the big famous putter that he used for, 12 of his majors. And one of those just went in auction for like $400,000. So I'm like, you want to feel any more irrelevant to this person, this kid's life, he's using a $400,000 putter in his bag. that sort of puts the early staple on it. But then, you know, it's fun to see the mannerisms and the way they react to one another. There's no question about it. But do we need to treat him this way? Do we need to act this way? Can we just let him be a kid and enjoy when he's out there with his dad?
I would hope so. I mean, the enjoying of the dad, you could make the case that, you know, not every kid's trotted out on national TV in a golf tournament. So I get that part of it. But if we think that Tiger doesn't have pressure when he returns, what is this child going to have pressure wise when he steps up on the first tee in his first professional event, assuming he goes that route?
That's what I mean. And I know Tiger's cultivating him. He said, basically, you can get as mad as you want on any golf shot, as long as you're mentally prepared for the next one. By the time you get to the next one, that's very Tiger-esque, not really what I'm teaching my son. But adversely, you have young John Daly was never treated this way. You have, I believe Matt Kuchar had his son out there playing with him. Stenson's kid was out there. Pretty funny guy, too. Yeah. Flipping on his dad in a presser. That was great.
His dad's hysterical, too, by the way.
There is a different attitude towards Charlie. And I'm just worried, like, did we kind of help break Tiger? We, as in the golfing public? And if that is the case, are we going to all be collectively working against breaking Charlie? Can we just let this kid and see what he can do? Like, give him every chance, and then when he actually proves himself, then start fawning over him?
I don't know if we collectively broke Tiger. I mean, we've collectively built him into this along with his amazing skill level. You know, his issues previously were of his own doing, but I I don't exactly think that the golfing media is turning him into the two Corys, if I'm going to date myself to an 80s child. But I do think they're leading up to an insurmountable amount of pressure that if he doesn't come out in his first ever golf tournament and win by a landslide, it's a failure. I hate that too. I truly do. Young John Daly looks to be the real deal for what it's worth. And that kid has a ton of skill. And I look forward to following what he ends up doing. His father being the guy, at least in my lifetime as a golf fan, who did the most come out of nowhere thing and win, yeah. Sporting the mullet and all. So that'll be a fun one to follow too, but it's super uncomfortable for a lot of this. The media attention that young Woods received was fine at first, obviously greatest player ever, arguably. And his son out on the course after the accident kept Tiger from playing. But I did like cringe a couple. There's some cringeworthy stuff out there.
It's pretty heavy. And I'm not trying to blast people. I know that Tiger sells conversation. There's no question about it. An article on Tiger is probably better than an article on Tiger is what he had for breakfast is probably better than 99% of the other things you could write about. I get that or talk about or whatever. I would love, I'm going to move on. Do you know, I love seeing these kids like young Daly rep their colleges. He's decked out. He's got the belt, the shirt, the hat, the pants, the bag. It's really cool to see that sort of love for school. He's obviously out there putting on a show. I'm excited to see where he can go. He's got the Me power. Too. And I'm sure by the time he gets through it all, if he can have a good career, he's going to be a pretty interesting guy to talk to because he's seen an unbelievable variety of experiences with his dad. He has to have at this point.
Without a doubt.
Do you think he goes on YouTube and finds some things out about his dad that he maybe didn't know about? What do you think he does as a college golfer when he goes on YouTube and sees his dad chugging a beer or eating a McDonald's on the first tee or, you know, whatever he's doing?
I hope not, but I'm sure it happens. I mean, YouTube is a thing. I don't even know how to respond to that because if I Google my father, very little comes up. So I don't know.
That's got to be a good one. I think he'll be a lot of fun to follow moving forward, but it's also really nice to see Josh is these elite players bringing their children back into the game and making sure they have an opportunity if they want it. I think that's very good for golf. I mean, it obviously has extended the relevance of John Daly by being a part of these events like he's been in. And, it's kind of exciting to see these young guys from players of the past come in and do something. I've seen it in hockey before as a big fan of hockey. I'm not sure how much it's done in football or baseball or whatever it may be, but I get excited when I see a familiar name.
Speaking of hockey, do you think Dustin Johnson would be a good hockey player?
I don't see why not.
Okay. I was just curious.
Probably a better skier.
Okay. Random thought.
Oh, man. We got to move on. Why don't we talk about Bryson a little bit? Sure. Bryson's continuing to do it his own way, which is super fun.
It's an understatement.
Super interesting. People talk about him. People love him or hate him. At this point, I feel like most people have made their decision. And other than going on a Tiger-esque major run, I imagine they're pretty solidified in those camps. But he did something really interesting earlier or last month. And obviously, you made a funny point where we were talking about it earlier, which I'll let you bring up. But he publicly did a test to prove or disprove whether he was on performance-enhancing drugs. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, my first thought when I saw it was he put it out there. Obviously, if he didn't pass the test, we would never see that video. But I was one of the ones that never really thought he took performance-enhancing drugs to begin with. I mean, he gained weight quickly, but not in that style. It was just one of those things where, you know, anything that happens with anybody, and that's the thing. I mean, for years, Tiger battled that. People forget, because time heals all wounds, that Tiger put on a ton of mass And that was the first thing people thought of. And he talked about training and this and that. And some people still think he did. This one, I didn't put much weight into it. One thing about Bryson that I did enjoy, and I don't think we've had a chance to talk about it, is when he did the long drive stuff. First of all, he fared better than I think most people thought. But second of all, it elevated an event that had been kind of dying out a little bit. It brought some eyeballs and attention to that, and I think that's a good thing for golf.
When you have a collection of guys who are involved in the event, storied long drivers express their appreciation of a player for going in and doing this. There have been so many times, Josh, where someone comes in, and I give you a good example, I think, is a guy like Steph Curry going and playing golf in a tournament, getting an exemption, or Tony Romo.
Yeah,
there's a mix of perspective there. Like, oh, he shouldn't be a part of this. He doesn't deserve the spot. He's taking it away from someone. Whereas I think pretty collectively, everyone was grateful for Bryson not only bringing attention to the long drive, but taking it as seriously as he did. And agreed. I think for two reasons. Number one, he showcased the difference between aggression and control, because he was one of the few guys who was hitting the grid often. But also he exposed, even at the length that he's gone, just how good these guys are to be able to put up the numbers they do. I mean, you have YouTube videos between him and Berkshire, which is obviously a big name. He is emotionally challenged and fighting Berkshire and upset when he sees Berkshire's numbers are superior to his without really genuinely putting huge effort in. Like on a swing, not in the off season or right. whatever, training or whatever. You can see that impact on Bryson just the same way that we would have an impact when a tour pro hits it from 195 to about 5 feet and shakes his head like he missed it. And we're all at home like, oh, okay, bud. Yeah. I would hate to have that. You get that same sort of feeling. So it draws that, that value in there to say, okay, maybe these guys aren't just a bunch of meatheads swinging as hard as they can without real focus. These guys are, they're mastering their craft in a different way. Maybe we should provide them the time of day to actually view it.
That's a really good take. I've had the opportunity and luxury to play golf against the guy who first put this on the map, and Jamie Sedlowski, and watching him work his way around the course is rather interesting now that he's on his plight to be a tour player. Being more controlled, hitting 5 irons longer than most people hit drivers, even on a good day, and things like that. Watching what he did for that event and bring credence to it and eyeballs to it was definitely something of an unselfish act and something that was good for the game, especially in the growth at that level. I'll be interested to see what happens moving forward. I don't think it's going to be his thing long term, but I enjoyed that. And you know, for a guy who definitely enjoys the eyeballs in Bryson and has them all the time on him, positive or negative, I thought that was an extremely positive side of it.
Do you think he continues this route? Do you think long drive
in the short term, yes,
is a thing? 2023? You think it's all there?
Not once you go past this year, I think it's not. I'll be very curious to see how his equipment plight changes. And I'm going to switch gears on you completely, but still talk about Bryson. So Bryson is under contract with Cobra Golf this year. And Bryson also just signed a deal as he's a partner of Club Champion now, because he's big into the proponent of fitting, obviously, based on how to the ninth degree he goes with all his clubs. Do you think there's a company out there that can dedicate the time and resources that Cobra has to a guy like Bryson and continue that? Or do you think he becomes the latest free agent in golf?
That's a good question, because obviously Cobra has put all kinds of effort into it, not just from Bryson.
The resources are astronomical.
But also guys like Berkshire, they want him to have the ability to perform at his absolute best. And we saw that a fair bit with Callaway, obviously involved with Jamie for a while, and
And Kyle.
And Do I see it with a lot of companies? No, I don't think so. I think a lot of companies would prefer to stay in their own lane. But it's also a big decision on Bryson's back as do I transition out of this company knowing that I'm transitioning out of Long Drive in a sense? Or if he goes to Long Drive, does he have a clause in there where I can use a different head during Long Drive, which is probably pretty challenging. Still obviously wear the apparel, but, you know, operate with a different club that maximizes performance. I mean, the amount of contract work going in there is probably not too pleasant.
Yeah, he is probably the most interesting tour player sponsorship follow that exists, because forget the idea of the Tigers, Phils of the world, Rory's, and John Rahm is a great example, changed, you know, largely the golf ball was a big thing for him and decided to go to where he thought the golf ball best fit him. But when it comes to Bryson, you're talking about creating something that doesn't exist in your lineup. And yeah, dedicating the time and resources to do so, which Cobra has done. So will we see another company have the ability to do that and have the want to do it? And that's really the million-dollar question.
Yeah, and I was only looking at that from Long Drive. In my response, I didn't say anything about one length, which is obviously a huge undertaking. Doing it right anyway. I mean, anyone can put a bunch of 7-iron shafts and heads, but they're obviously not going to perform in the right way or swing weight in the right way.
Yes.
Do you think he maintains one length for his entire career?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. And there's positives and negatives to one length, but there's positives to negatives and variable length too. In fact, a 4-inch change between swings is not ideal if you think about it and break it down like that. But I'm a big believer that it would be very hard. I don't want to say hard for him to transition to variable length, but that's a major undertaking and change. Now, if a company gets him to transition to variable length and he goes out and wins, that's the biggest coup in maybe in golf equipment history. If he goes out and fails, that's also the biggest coup in golf equipment history. That's what makes this such an interesting dynamic moving forward.
Here's an interesting question for you that I think is interesting. Anyway, I'll let you decide. Do you think Cobra continues to produce one length if Bryson were to move on?
Oof. No. And not really, because it's not successful. I think they would for a brief amount of time. But at that point, aren't you pretty much just advertising another golf or another company, assuming he signs elsewhere? Now, if he doesn't sign elsewhere and he's a free agent, I don't see why they would stop. Their one length is a very, very good club line and does well. So it would be hard just to say no. But if you're producing it, and let's say he signs with McGregor Golf, I'm using a name that doesn't exist anymore. If you're the one that's keeping putting it out there and he's the only one using it and McGregor's the only company, you're basically giving them free advertising. And I'm not sure that would be worth its weight. Not it's for a company as tech forward as Cobra, because they are cutting edge technology in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And maybe they just isolate and move into something different with that extra time on their hands. And I've heard without Bryson on board, there'd be a lot of extra time.
There would be a little bit more time for sure.
Well, my friend, we've talked about a fair bit on the very first show of 2022.
You got to ask me what if I have questions for you.
I will. We'll get there.
Okay.
You sound pretty eager. So
I have a lot of them.
The one thing
it's like
I didn't
the airing
do the of the
grievances
show.
On Seinfeld.
Is it? Okay. Well, let's go right into it. Joshua, do you have any questions for me?
I do, Dan. First, we could be here all day. First, are you going to get a new golf bag finally? Like it's time.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, I pulled the Arnold Palmer special, the limited edition out of play. And put I still have my granddaddy bag from 2015, 2016. I can't remember what year it was. 20 something. I put that in play when I played with a granddaddy member. And so it's in the trunk right now. So I'm technically not using the same bag, but I am ready for a new one. Do you have any suggestions?
Two.
Yeah.
The first is the new Callaway golf bags launching, the Lowrider. Remember that one?
The Lowrider? And so we'll have to get Austin on the show to talk about that.
Probably. And the other one is, well, I mean, the Lowrider might not be beneficial for you since you're not allowed to use a push cart. But the other one would be the Bag Boy Chiller Hybrid, which is a phenomenal bag. Like, phenomenal. One of the best I've used.
Really? So you're not a big fan of the Staff Stand Bag Epic I found on budget the other day?
No, it's a great bag, but you're a guy who likes to carry. Why would you go with something heavy if you don't have to?
It's so pretty.
I agree with you. It looks great.
Flash, buddy.
It's bad decisions, and I know that you're good at those, but, you know. Second question. You are a
Well, that's all the time golfer. We have today. Sorry.
You are a fantastic golfer, and I'm prefacing getting to something.
No.
You have been as low as a +4, and I think you're currently being soft capped to right around a 1. Life sucks.
Tragic.
But you've gone through a small hitch in your swing, and we want to see it fixed. Us, the audience, Dan, the listeners. Or we want you just to get back to the +4 playing nothing longer than a 4-iron.
Yeah,
which I firmly believe you could do anyway.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Because the rest of us, it's kind of like the tour player thing. You know, I see a tour player doing something, I want to try it. What are you doing to fix yourself?
Well, I'll tell them what I'm doing to not fix myself. And actually, I just started a thread, Josh, on THP talking about range commitments for 2022. And the one thing I really want to do is, when I had a kid, is I stopped going to the range. I used to be a rat. I used to get there and grind it out, mostly because I didn't have a lot of people to play with. So, and I was always afraid to go on the course because I've never had a hole in one. So playing alone was kind of a no-go. So I would just spend 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever it would need to be on the range. And then, you know, get back to, I guess, a good move. The problem was that the longer I stayed on the range, the more I got in my own head. So I think this year my plan is at least 3 range sessions a week, which is a big move up. I have the ability early in the morning to go do it once I drop my son off at the bus stop. So that's that. I'm going to start there. And I really need to find someone to put me in a good place. I need to get my driver swing back to where it was. And I have not solved for that yet. Probably just new clubs. That's all I need. New clubs and everything's fixed.
That was my suggestion, but you know, you do you. I get it. I have a lot more questions, but I'll limit it to this. You have new Mizuno irons coming.
I do.
You have those going in the bag. Have you decided what you're doing on the other end? Because you use Mizuno irons. You have some Edel wedges you really like. Mm-hmm. What are you doing on the other end? Have you made that decision? Are you going to do a trial run, or are you going to be like, no, I'm going to carry 12 wedges now because anything longer than a 4-iron, I'm not interested in.
Are we talking about at the top of the bag?
Yeah.
Yeah. Driver is a free agent until the swing stops being bad. So I think whatever it takes to get back into a good place with that, driver's totally free agent right now. I have the new Epic Super Hybrid in there in the second slot, which is, so far as I can tell, a great club. I don't have a shaft in there I like. I'll need to improve on that. Currently, not one that I think you favor either. So that is a free agent. And I guess my next move would be into my 3-ish iron. So yeah, there won't be a lot of head covers at the top of the bag, but I'm pretty open to change. I'm pretty open to different
year. Let's not get carried away.
Now it's 2022. Okay. I'm not calling it a resolution because those are lies. I am saying now, with a potential new bag, I've retired a putter that I didn't think would ever get pulled. So that is wide open. There'll be some great info coming up from James from the site on Edel's putting fitter system. I'm super curious about EAS again. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to have like the 5-year-old bag anymore. I think that's done.
Well, I look forward to following the journey. I do.
Is that acceptable?
Well, it very. I'm actually good with that because I watched the transition to what it is now, when we had everything was clicking on all cylinders and you went through a small little change and struggled a little bit with one club. I got to preface it by saying with one club, and for what it's worth, for those listening along, his struggles are still better than 99.9% of all golfers' good stuff. I actually told that to a friend. I was like, him talking about struggling is effing absurd. But
it does still hit the middle of the face, though.
Yes. Yeah. Like, and then I watched you work with Colt Ford, country superstar Colt Ford, in the studio and hammer like 12 in a row. Yeah. So like, I'll be very curious to follow along with this journey. It'll be fun to follow.
Okay. Maybe I'll make you my coach. How's that?
Nobody wants that.
Well,
we can make sure to ruin the rest of the clubs in the bag if you'd like.
We could try it. We'll see what happens. You got a big weekend next weekend. UST Mamiya, the rivalry's coming up in Nashville.
Yes,
have fun with that. Try not to layer up too much. And we've got a big release season coming up. Obviously, we'll see a lot on the site. So if you are following along with THP, I hope you're in the conversation talking about product with me. I'm as curious as you are. And I hope everyone had a great holiday season with their family and a very happy new year. I'm looking forward to not being sick anymore. It seems like it's been a month and a half now. So be safe out there. Have fun. If you're playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Josh, thanks for coming on, buddy. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Have fun, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.